Fishing like a local isn't just about catching fish. It's about connecting with the environment and the people who call it home. It's about hearing the stories and traditions that have been passed down for generations and sharing unforgettable moments with the people you meet along the way. Fishing like a local is having an experience that stays with you forever. And with Fishing Booker, you can experience it too, no matter where you are. Discover your next adventure on Fishing Booker.
This upcoming concert season will be all about the boots, and Tecovas is your stop for the best in Western style. Tecovas has seasonal and limited edition offerings this spring and summer, including men's and women's boots, apparel, hats, bags, and more. All Tecovas boots are made by hand in a time-honored tradition with timeless styles that are always on trend. And Tecovas has first wear comfort with little to no break-in period. It's hard to find this level of comfort paired with this level of style. Stop by your local Tecovas store, have a complimentary drink or two, that's WCB style, and shop new styles. The smell of fresh leather and friendly staff are at your service. Many stores even have leather custom branding to make your boots truly personalized. And with regular live music and events, there's no in-store experience like it. If you can't make it into a store, just visit tecovas.com. That's T-E-C-O-V-A-S.com. They offer free shipping on all boots, as well as free returns and exchanges, and ship right to your door. Go to tecovas.com and find your new favorite pair of boots today.
You're listening to America's Diesel Podcast.
Hey, everybody. Ben with America's Diesel Podcast. Fuck, we're going to start that one over.
Pasta.
Rasta pasta. No. This is the intro. Welcome to America's Diesel Podcast. It's Ben, Mitch, Andrew, Tyler. Corey doesn't have a mic this or today, but that's okay. Corey says, fuck you, TJ. Welcome to the group. If you need injectors, buy them from Dynamite. Yep. If you need to manual swap anything, talk to Long Range Gear. Let's get this episode going. Logan, this is part two for you, man. Talking about fun and swapping your stuff. Let's talk about some power. So,
speed and power.
More power, baby.
More power, baby.
So before we get too far into making power, there is one thing we wanted to touch on as far as transmission stuff. And that is, I know that you mentioned putting a ZF6 in there, but there is potentially some positives and things to think about going automatic. And I, for me, the biggest thing going automatic, I know we have like Captain Manual Swap the World over here, and he's probably going to hate me for saying any of this, but you're probably, like we mentioned before, so the goal, like the best case scenario, find a donor truck. Chances of you finding a donor truck with an automatic compared to a manual, a lot easier and more than likely a lot cheaper. And that's basically it. I mean, and you get the idea that putting a manual on a truck is a lot easier than doing an automatic. If you have an automatic OBS that you're thinking about putting this in, it's a lot easier to just kind of go with an automatic. You're not cutting a hole in the floor. You're not removing anything. You don't have to worry about a third pedal.
Yeah.
It's just making the automatic work in there, which isn't as hard as you think. People swap automatics with Cummins engines in trucks all the time.
Yeah.
And again, and we're not talking about super... And again, as far as I'm concerned, transmissions all have a magical wizard inside of them that do all the work. They're
nobody
fucking
knows how they work.
If they're black magic to me, I don't know. It's John Elford's world. I don't touch it. Okay. But the transmissions that you'd more likely find behind these 5.9s are all going to be 47, potentially 48 RFE, RE, RH.
RE.
RE.
Yeah.
And these are not inherently super complicated transmissions. This is a 4-speed transmission. They don't take a ton of electronics, if at all.
Parts
it's,
are cheap.
It's a 727 designed in the 60s with an overdrive housing bolted to it.
Parts
are literally cheap. What it is.
You can find somebody in every county that can fix it, you know, to get you back on the road. That's not the case with manuals. Like, I don't mean to be, you know, talking myself out of business here. But, I mean, you know, to be fair, like, you know, if you're going to be building a Fummins truck, like a cool project that's going to look cool and classic, your wife might want to drive it, and maybe she doesn't want to shift gears. So autos they have their place. You know?
And a well-built auto is still fun to drive. Something that locks up when it's supposed to with about 550 horsepower. It's still fun.
Yeah.
Okay. You still get that thrill.
And you're only talking, again, about 500 horsepower here. So, I mean, there's not much you would need to do to that automatic to make it handle that reliably. Mm-hmm. I mean, what? Maybe a valve body and a torque converter and maybe a fresh rebuild.
Yeah. Second gear band and, you know, the strut.
A couple other little parts.
Normal stuff.
But nothing like, you know, outrageously expensive.
Any good auto trans guy puts all the billet stuff in it anyway.
Yeah.
He always does. The band strut always does the anchor, always the
accumulator piston.
A good one does it, the pistons, the servo covers, all that. Yep. So, I mean, it's not like you're asking for a race trans. It's just a good quality trans builder uses the good stuff.
Yeah.
And since we're dead set on doing a common rail swap, you get a 48.
Here's the thing, though. I do think this kid is thinking about a 12 valve.
I think he is too.
And I think that's what, even though we brought up the common rail thing, even though it would be preferred and way cooler. And funner. but I do think you do have some 12 valve parts here. Yep. I think a 12 valve is probably what he was thinking when he was thinking about this.
Most likely.
So
I think we can just give that little nudge like common rail is pretty cool.
for sure.
And that's the whole reason why we talk about this kind of stuff.
Yeah.
And that's why for any of you, I know not a lot of you listeners and maybe been on this show, but if you've listened for a while, you know that we don't start these shows with an outline.
Yeah.
We have a very loose topic. And we trust that the conversation is going to go where it goes.
Yeah.
And we know that we trust that we have at least enough knowledge to make sure it goes in the right direction.
Right.
Albeit about Little Mermaid, Bigfoot's dick, you know, whatever.
Don't bring that up.
Oh, man. We haven't talked about Bigfoot's dick in a long time.
I know. Yeah. I'm bringing it up now.
Yeah. There you go.
So if Bigfoot drove a truck with a manual, what transmission would it be?
5600.
Yeah, I'm kind of in that way.
Yeah.
You don't think it'd be Eaton, man?
No. Ooh, no. Man, I don't know.
I'm kind of, yeah.
Bigfoot's a big... Okay, now which Eaton?
A 6-speed Eaton. Not gross. Those stupid 5-speeds. I hate those.
I see him, for some reason, put a 10-speed no overdrive Eaton in something, so he'd be shifting all the time with big-ass feet and long arms. I was
saying 13-speed.
He just kind of got that divorce transfer case vibe.
Yeah. Yeah. Banging gears or red rocket slapping the steering wheel. You know? It's like, is that the engine? Is that Bigfoot? No one knows.
Yeah.
Well, so what engine does he drive? It's got to be.
Oh, it's 12 valve. 100% 12 valve.
Well, if he's got an 8 or, you know, big tranny, it's probably got a Detroit.
Yeah, I was going to say Detroit, baby.
Oh, yeah. 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 I can see that.
Me and Tyler, we were on the same level. I can see it. Okay.
They were like old fucking two stroke.
Yes. Yeah.
All right.
Have you guys seen that Hoonigan video where he's driving around downtown Tacoma in that. It's like the off-road truck or whatever. It's a Sasquatch suit. He's actually ripping around. They shut down the city for the day.
No shit.
Oh, no. I've seen that one.
I didn't see that one.
Is it
old? You
guys
are kidding. I mean,
there's always the Sasquatch is always like in the video where they're doing like the stuff.
Yeah, they have. He steals the truck from the guy. That's what it is.
Oh, it's like the very end of it.
Yeah. It's in downtown Tacoma. It's pretty sweet.
Yeah, that one's pretty cool.
I think he liked that truck. I mean, that was cool. It was a gas.
Wait, so you're telling me Sasquatch stole a truck?
The real Sasquatch.
Yeah, was it like it's a dent side, isn't it? It's a.
I guess we can't play it, huh? We can't play
it. It's a dent side with an EcoBoost. That truck?
No. This is like one of those.
Like a trophy truck. BJ Baldwin's.
Trophy truck. Yeah. That's the one.
Yeah.
Sorry, had to go off on that tangent. He seemed to be having a good time, so maybe he's a gasser guy. Who knows?
Look at BJ Baldwin, Hoonigan. Everybody wait while we Google stuff. Yeah.
I always try to make sure we don't have that weird pause, like as we're all sitting here watching something. Yeah. People listening like, what the fuck, guys?
We should.
That was 2017. Wow.
It's funny that was a long time ago.
Yeah. No kidding.
Yeah. Okay.
That's a good, that's a good video.
Yes,
that's
everybody really go one. Watch that.
Yeah.
It's good. It's entertaining.
All right, cool. All right, so let's talk about 500 horsepower 12 valves.
Yeah.
Okay, so your subject matter expert for the moment is going to be Mitch, but also Andrew's got some pretty good... Your comment on his, like, I don't mean this in a bad way. I didn't know that you were that in-depth with 12-valve stuff.
I like 12-valves.
Was more than I thought you knew, too.
I was equally surprised. Yeah, I was like,
for sure.
Yeah, I bug you a lot about common rail stuff because I'm very new to common rails and, like, you know, technology like this. You press buttons and it makes things improve.
Yeah, beep,
beep, bop, boop.
Yeah.
That's new. 12-valves, though, that's my jam. That's
nice.
thank you for being so patient with my common rail questions, but yeah,
I got all day.
Yeah, for 12 valve stuff, man, you Dynamite's got all kinds of goodies.
Yeah,
yeah, we have fun stuff. Lenny is a big P pump guy.
Yeah,
he does like his P pumps.
Yeah, I think he owns 3 or 4, which is more than I own, and I own like 2. I thought that was a lot.
I own 2 7-3s.
Yeah. Right. Oof. Mentally ill.
I also have.
I was like, that is a lot of stress.
Yeah,
I had to take out a loan to buy oil.
Yeah, comes in pallet form for you.
Exactly. No joke. I just placed an order on our website for oil for my trucks.
Ugh.
Schaefer's
engine oil is expensive.
Yeah,
yeah.
But 12 gallons.
So one oil change? Yeah. Is that coming in on a freaking tanker ship? Like,
yeah. It's actually, technically it's 2 when you count for leakage and burn.
Yeah, yeah.
I feel like you should be looking into a 55-gallon drum.
Yeah, just, no kidding.
You should buy it by the tanker ship.
Not going to lie, the 55-gallon drum has genuinely crossed my mind.
Well, it only lasts you 2 months, so.
Just put it on an Amazon subscription for every 6 months. Yeah.
I can just imagine that flatbed coming to drop off at my house.
Yeah.
My neighbors be like, what the fuck are you doing in there?
Yeah.
Like, we see these old trucks coming in and out. What are you doing in
your garage, honey? He's making bombs.
Yeah. They're just dropping off drums and shit. Bunkers,
Homeland Security showing up at your place. Like, why is this guy buying all this oil?
Sir, why do you have so much ammonia nitrate?
Like, dude, leave me alone. I pay my HOA fees. Fuck off.
You should have a waste oil burner stove in your shop, in your garage.
Well, it doesn't waste any, though. It just burns it and takes it all over Spokane.
I'm just saying, he's got, like, every time he changes his oil, he's got, what, 12 gallons?
No, by the time he changes it, there's nothing in there.
He just adds oil to it.
Oh, damn. It's that bad, huh?
No.
Just changes the filter every 3,000 miles.
No, legit. Okay. I know, I just joked about it. Legitimately, once I drain the oil, if I drain the filter too, I'm usually about 3 1/4 gallons. So I burn about, was that three quarts every oil change? Burn, I don't leak anything.
Yeah.
Is that
so a, that's
is
the that reason why the EPA is on our number? Ass.
What's that? Huh? Couldn't hear you over my injectors.
Yeah. My hearing's a little hard. I've been listening to 7.3s for years.
Sorry. I don't smoothie like a box of rocks.
Yeah.
I love them, though.
All right, so 12 valves.
Yeah.
What do you got? What'd you bring us? What kind of toys do you have here?
All right. So, easy, obvious stuff. Yeah. We got fuel plates. So
I recommend going with the zero plate. You just want to take that fucker out.
Yeah.
Okay. That's
you don't
not
need
a zero plate.
It. You don't need
that
chuck
is
it.
Not a zero plate. Shut your mouth. This is a zero plate. Okay, you guys on camera can't fucking see that, but it's a zero plate, trust me. This is an I don't know whose this is, but it came out of my pickup and I was told it was a zero plate. It looks close to zero. This is a 10 plate. And that is an old school, like, TS Performance 10 plate.
Mm.
And these are, you know, a zero plate. Oh, you know, that's where you get your, like, 100 horsepower stuff. You take this, loosen the screws, slide it to the front of the motor. That gives you all the rack travel that that plate will allow, which creates more power, more smoke. And I also have our plate. You still can't see that. It's a little itty bitty profile, but
I can see the difference in profile.
I'll pass it around.
Yeah.
These plates are so incredibly good at controlling smoke and still giving you good power. I pulled the zero plate out of my pump in my dually and I swapped it for our DDP's fuel plate, and the smoke control was instantly like 100 times better. Like, it was ridiculous how much cleaner that plate runs. And you, and I mean, a lot of it depends on how you dial into AFC housing. So I went just straight from the plate was slid all the way forward with the zero, and the housing was slid all the way forward, which gives you the most rack travel you can get with the plate and the housing.
This is really nice machining too, like super high quality.
They are very good, yes.
Quick explanation, the lower in a number you go, the more aggressive or the more fueling you get.
Yeah, sorry.
So you hear people say like 10, 5, 0, 6, 7, something like that. The lower number you go, the more aggressive the fueling is.
Yes.
I think traditionally, like the number 10 is the really good.
The number 10?
It's a good mid-range,
like, it's all around. It's the old school. Like, they probably sold more of those plates.
We used to sell the shit out of fives.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Well, like, our plate is a 3.
Yeah.
So, it's super aggressive, but at the same time, it's very controllable on smoke.
Yeah. So, the 10 was, like, good horsepower bump, daily drivable,
yes.
Still not, like, obnoxious. Not but
really
like the,
good EGT control.
Yeah. The fives were just, like... Speed and power. Yeah. Smoke and power.
Or if you wanted all the smoke, you just yank the plate out, hook it over your shoulder. Please do not do that in a daily driver truck.
Yeah.
Leave the plate in it. Trust me, you can make plenty of power with a plate.
Fuck the plate.
Yeah. I remember guys back in the day getting like
Mitch is gonna stab me in the neck.
Well, getting like an illustration of like how to cut their own plates.
Yeah.
And like having a printout. Like trying to like
Yeah, when I cut my own plates way back in the day, I would just take it, there's like a shelf, and you just grind that fucker straight off. That's your zero plate.
That's your zero.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What do you think about those there's adjustable. A couple adjustable ones.
Like on the fly adjustable, or are you talking about like
the AFC Live or the adjuster?
The AFC Live stuff is, it has its place. And it's cool for, like, I don't know how to describe it. Essentially, what it does is it just regulates boost that goes to the AFC housing.
Yep.
And it allows, it fuels on a regulator. It's kind of, it's neat. If you know how to tune an AFC, it's unneeded.
Mm-hmm.
Well, the one thing I've never played with, and I always kind of wanted to, is the attitude adjuster.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And that, so that
has two adjusters, doesn't it?
It's
one.
No, it's one that's in the truck. So okay. It's on like a it's on
there,
like a
there was one that had two
cable.
Knobs on it.
That's the AFC Live.
AFC
Live,
okay, all right.
Well, AFC Live has a switch on the side, which is just a bypass
that's
the regulator.
Switch.
Yeah, it bypasses the air regulator.
That's full wide open.
Yep.
I had an AFC on mine, and then Wyatt had the adjuster on his.
What's his name, Tyler?
I have a friend.
Tyler on the fly.
No, this is Steve that escaped. Now okay. I got him again.
God damn it.
If you listen to the previous episode, we're talking about this, Fum and Swap Part 1. Tyler's catching flies right now in cups.
He has caught 3 flies in 3 different people's cups.
How did I not know you had this talent? I've known
I
you for 10 years.
I'm really impressed.
Just I know I don't know what to do.
You said that one.
Well, Steve already escaped once on me, and I'm not letting him go this time.
You're my friend.
You're gonna be my friend.
Did you let him out?
Well, maybe we got it.
Pour a little bit more beer in there so he can have a drink while he suffers.
He's not suffering. My friend.
He's probably living his best life. He's towards the top. Don't let him out. I forgot what we were talking about.
Yeah. AFC Live. Corey's making
AFC
me a
live. Yeah.
Yeah.
The adjuster is cool. Wyatt had one. You can turn it all the way down, like shut off your fuel, and then disconnect it. So it's like a cool security feature. Not that really matters, but when he would turn that thing up, man, it would.
Yeah, because it takes place of the fuel plate.
Mm-hmm.
So you just fucking
like
start spinning the knob.
Yeah.
Yeah, and it runs a cable, which is on a jack screw, mm-hmm. which will just run the plate wherever you want it.
Yeah.
So I've never messed with it, but they look cool.
Yeah. Well, I mean, so if you're just like daily driving or whatever, it's just like turning it down on tune 1 or whatever.
Yeah.
It's exactly the same. I had the AFC Live. I enjoyed it. It's maybe a little bit hard to kind of tune. But what was really easy was flipping the switch for full power.
Yeah.
That was a good time. But when you were just like towing or something, you could really dial down your fuel to keep your EGTs down. So it was nice. I don't know if it was necessarily worth it. But
I feel like that's all of us really want. They want a party switch.
Yeah.
Like as you get, I'm not saying we're all old, but like as you get to a certain age, you're like, I get that this truck, like it just needs to drive. It's fine. But I want a full keel party mode when I want a full keel party mode. And I don't need it all the time.
Don't pay attention to me over here, okay? I'm just playing with my friend.
We're over here talking about thumb and swaps and 12 valves, and times where they're worried about a fucking fly.
Oh, don't run away from me. You're mine.
This is my friend. Sorry, guys.
Jesus. You're all mine.
It was kind of nice.
Captured? Okay, there you go.
It was kind of nice with the adjustable ones because you would get really used to the low setting and then you would hit the party switch and you've done it before, so you knew, but it always felt like a new truck. So that part was cool.
That's cool.
I always just use my right foot as where the party truck engages.
You are a far more mature individual than I am.
Same. Like, we always tell people, they ask us, like, what tune to put on their trucks and whatnot. I'm like, the highest horsepower tune that you feel comfortable having the lightest foot on. And they're always like, I can't do it. I'm like, I can't either. But that's what they tell me. Yeah. What tune do you run on? I run on, like, the, like, 80 to 100 horsepower tune. That's what I run on. So I double my 7.3 horsepower. And I'm fine with that.
Triple.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know.
I tried to cut myself down. You just.
No. I am talking, Ben.
You shove your nose in. Yeah. Whatever.
I don't know. I run everything on the hottest tune we've got. And then you just drive it with your foot. Like, just learn how to drive a fucking pickup.
He's used to really low horsepower.
I know.
So he's got to always just get in it.
Right. Like, full throttle all the time.
Then when he hops in a truck with real power, it's like, oh my God!
Yeah, but then I have trouble keeping it straight because the steering's fucked.
No, it's because the ass end is coming out of it because you're like, wait, we'll hold the power.
And magically have a lisp now.
Hold the power.
Jesus Christ. This thing moves. Instead of coming.
The second podcast of the day is always more interesting.
It really is. Certain things start to set in and certain words start coming out a little bit easier.
Yeah.
Okay, so 500 horsepower, 12 valve, P pump.
Yeah.
Yep.
Number 10 plate. Yeah. Go for it.
Yeah, so buy our plate. Buy our number 3 plate. It's the only one we have. So, I mean, if you order a 10 plate, you're getting a 3 anyway. Yeah. Just order an EP plate. Trust me. The next thing you should do.
Yeah, the next thing.
Governor Springs. Yeah, I got Governor Springs right here.
Which is almost a have to do on these trucks.
You have to. Yeah. Dude, they defuel at 22.5.
Yeah.
They're garbage.
Yeah.
So, I've got in front of me. You guys can't see it. I don't know why I brought this stuff. Andrew told me to.
I like looking at it.
Props are always fun.
Did you get another one?
No, I was close. Listen, one at a time, baby. We're getting them out of here.
3-4 Ks. Yank your stock ones out. They're garbage. And personally, I put 4Ks in everything. Because just because you have 4,000 RPM doesn't mean you need to use it.
Right.
Like, I have 4Ks in my dually, and it never exceeds like 32, maybe. Yeah, probably 32.
Except for our test drive.
Yeah. Test drive was 35. That's when the head gasket said, "Nah, I'm done." And like, it's scary up there. Like, that's super fast. So, like, just throw 4Ks in it. Trust me, you'll be fine. And the driving characteristics of a 4K is super good. Like, it's not so light on the throttle like a 5K that it's sketchy, but you get good throttle response. And it just feels right. Like, 4Ks is what they should have come with. Like, the download characteristics of a 4K is what they should have come with.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because they start defueling at 2008. God dang it. I can't remember.
I thought it was 1850 or something like that.
It's super low. Yeah. It's 1900.
It's a lot lower than it should be.
Yeah. And they start defueling like right when that engine wants to start like coming into a power band and make power. Yeah. It just yanks it all away from you. So I know for a fact they full defuel at 22.5.
Yeah.
I know that for a fact. And if you go to 3Ks, you gain, like, in real world, you only gain like 300 RPM.
Yeah.
It's not a lot, actually. So if you just skip it, go to 5Ks, and or 4K. Sorry, 4K. Don't go 5. You guys don't need 5Ks. A 4K is going to get you where you need to be, and it's going to drive great. And just like I said, because you have 4,000 RPM capable doesn't mean you need to use them.
Yeah.
If you do plan on using them, you need valve springs.
Yes.
Because you will float the shit out of the valves over 3,200. So,
and the cost difference for going to a 3 to 4 is like not even there. There's like nothing there.
Oh, it's zero.
Sell a kit. It's at
three,
zero. Yeah.
Three fours, most kits. Yeah. 3-4. So let me see that real
same,
quick.
It's
Andrew,
the same
sorry.
Kit, right?
Which it's the same kit. That's a 3K, has two springs. put the small spring in it, now it's a 4K.
Right.
We sell a 3-4K. So if you buy Dynamites, this is what you get.
Yeah, I think there's one company that still sells just a 3K kit.
I think it's BD.
I think it's BD.
BD sells...
No. They sell BD. 3 and 4K. Okay. Same with Pack Break. Pack Break does a 3 and 4K.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, so if you plan on spinning it, you need to plan on valve springs.
Yep.
Sorry. 60-pound valve springs are good. If you can swing a little bit extra money, get the conicals, the beehives, the street bees. Like there's, I mean, Hamilton makes them. Peak?
Peak and Pack Break both make
valve springs. I think they're both 60s.
Those are 60s.
Those are 60s. Okay, yeah, sorry.
Yeah, yeah, those are 60s.
I think Hamilton's pretty much our go-to.
Hamilton is the one, yeah.
Yeah, Hamilton's got their street conicals, and then, or no, their beehives.
Yeah.
And then Power Driven sells a conical. They sell a street conical and a competition conical.
Yeah. See, and he actually even posted a parts list, and he has the Hamilton Cams beehive spring kits.
Yeah, those are perfect.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, yeah, if you guys want to go over 3,200 RPM, you need, because you will float valves, and in a diesel, trust me, on a Cummins especially, you will smack those valves with the piston, and they do not like it. Like, I've seen witness marks all over pistons. Yeah. So, yes, valve springs, yes, you need them.
Yeah.
But, having said that, do not go and put... The really big ones.
Christ.
You do not. He's catching another one. Oh my God!
This guy,
Fly Sensei. Do not put like the 165-pound, which are like the competition valve springs.
Yeah. Too much.
Too much. Because
if you put those in and you try and daily it, your chances of the camshaft eating the cam journals in the block like go through the roof because like you've got so much spring pressure that's going back through a lever. Going down the push rods, and now that's pushing on the cam, and your cam in a Cummins does not have bearings. It has one up front. Depending on your engine, it has one in the back. So it's just riding on a film of oil, and you've got enough spring pressure there to actually shove the cam into the block, and it'll eat the block up.
Yeah.
So buy what you need. Don't go overboard. Yeah. On valve springs,
because
it will bite you in the butt.
Yeah, and again, we're talking for 500 horse, like not necessary.
Yeah, like 500 horsepower,
4K kit, 60-pound springs.
Yeah,
call it a day. You're fine.
Exactly. Speaking of like cam, cam, it's fine. A stock cam is going to get you there all day long. If you had money burning a hole in your pocket, you could put a 178, 208. It doesn't take the RPM range and move it up so far that you're out of the like range of power of a 12 valve.
Oh, it's a 188 220, I'm thinking.
So he picked a 188 220, which is way too big. Like that moves your RPM range up. Like I don't think those start making power till 2500 RPM to 45, I think is what Hamilton claims.
We usually use them on common rail trucks. But that's our go-to cam on pretty much everything.
Is it really?
Those heads will flow a lot more, though.
Exactly. See, on our common rail builds, we put 180, 182, or 178.
208.
We put the small one in ours.
Yeah.
We don't put 188.
That's what do they call it? The DPF saver, but that what do they call it? Hamilton calls it. He calls it like the...
Let me look it up real quick here.
There was a name for it.
Because the 188 208 is the same one. That's what we have in the
007
truck.
Yeah.
And I think it's what we have in the Mega Cab, too.
I'm pretty sure. Yeah.
Yeah. I don't think you guys have a 188 220 in a truck. Well, at least that I've.
In 07, 007 yeah.
is. It is?
So, yeah.
Yeah.
That was a small one.
No, any of the cams that have gone here.
No, I'm pretty sure it's a 188 220.
See, we go the other way. We put the small ones in.
Yeah.
178 208 street cam. They refer to it as...
I thought they had a name for it.
I don't know if I've ever seen a name.
I thought it was just their cam. Or towing.
Yeah, I think they call it
this cam will help drastically reduce exhaust gas recirculation and provide more fresh, cool air for your engine. That means less particulate matter, lower EGTs, and better fuel economy.
Well, okay, maybe I saw that somewhere else.
Doesn't have any of that.
So yeah. Cool. Hey, 12 valve can get some good fuel mileage.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
It gets killer fuel mileage.
I mean, out of my two-wheel drive, I can pull... like 22 as an average pretty easily.
It's an easy trap to fall into, but like with a 5.9 with a low flowing head, if you start stepping up your cam size at all, displacement and CFM flow will basically cut off your power on the low end and move it up higher. So even if the 188 cam is only two steps above stock, putting it in a 5.9/12 valve with a low flowing head means you're not going to get anything usable out of that thing till like 20, like you said, 2500 RPM.
Yeah.
Mm. But the same cam in a, you know, a larger or a better flowing, you know, induction setup will keep that power low. So that's why all of us that chimed in on that post when he said a 188 cam, we're like, no, that's going to move it up way too high. If you want this to be a daily driver or a practical use vehicle, you need to stick with a smaller cam if you're, you know, missing a, you know, like a nice flowing head or something like that. So
yeah,
the stock cams are more than capable of pulling excellent power. Don't freak out about
there's
that.
There's guys like Josh McCormick. I've seen him. He's made over 1,000 horsepower on a stock cam.
Yeah,
like a stock cam is fine. Like it's not, and it does. It's not like a gas engine either. Like you throw a cam in it and you're like, oh, that's gonna sound cool. It's just like it sounds like a Cummins.
Yeah,
but it just moves your RPM range so far up, and then you have to also think like on a 12 valve. Your RPM range, like your power band, think of it like a two-stroke dirt bike. Like your RPM range is 800 RPM, and it doesn't matter where it starts. Like if it starts at 1500 RPM, your power band ends at, what's it, 2300?
Yeah.
Okay. Now, if you just move and say you want, you put a cam in it and say you're like, okay, now it's going to start making horsepower at 25, that 800 horsepower window is still there.
Yeah.
Like it doesn't broaden the window of horsepower.
Yeah,
it just moves it from where you want it to be. So like I run a 188 220 in the race truck with a ported head and everything. That truck doesn't come alive till like 2700 RPM, and then it stops making power at 3600.
Yeah. And what about your timing setup on that too?
So that timing,
that'll affect it.
That timing setup, that truck is at 25.5 degrees.
That's not bad.
No, it's not bad. And I got it to where it was making as much power as it could. So it was 600 horsepower. And then I started playing with timing and I gave it 2 degrees until it stopped making power. So I started at 20, gave it 22, 24, 26. At 26 degrees of timing, it lost 3 RPM. So I backed it down 1 degree, and that's just where it's happy at. So it's happy at 25.5-ish. Degrees of timing.
Yeah.
So like your daily driver stuff, I wouldn't exceed 18.
Yeah.
Cause then at 18, you still get cold start reliably.
You lose a lot of drivability real quick.
You do. Yeah. And then so your cold start's still there and your cylinder pressure isn't through the roof. Mm-hmm. You start getting into a lot of advanced timing and your cylinder pressure starts going through the roof. Cylinder pressure is what blows head gaskets, causes lots of
fun things,
temperatures. Yeah, not good stuff.
Well, speaking of timing,
so if a guy was so inclined to do so, this is an adjustable P-pump timing gear. This is, I believe this is a Scheid. So if you take this little screw out, so this pump, this gear is really cool if you're like at the track and you don't have your dial indicator, because so say we started this hole right here. So it screws in. So now we want to give it 2 degrees of timing. So you pull this little screw out and you just bump the gear, move it one hole over. You just gave it 2 degrees of timing or retard. So these are pretty cool.
I want that. Yeah.
The only problem with an adjustable gear is you have to have a timing cover that allows you to get to it. There's a handful of companies that make billet ones, which, if you're on a budget, a billet front timing cover is not really on the table, in my opinion.
Yeah.
Like, because, you know, it's $600.
Yeah.
You don't really need it. But having said that, there are a few companies, and I'm pretty sure one of them is T-Rex Fab, which is up in northern Idaho. He actually will take a stamped steel one, and he'll put a removable cover so that you can get to it. And I want to say those are 200 to 300.
That's cool.
Yeah. So like it's not off the table. And there's a handful of companies that make them. This is a Scheid. This one's got Allen bolts and it's got this little 2 degree set bolt in it. I personally run a power driven one and it's just what I got.
Yeah.
It doesn't use the little 2 degree pin. So every time I have to mess with timing, it's either I have a degree wheel that goes on the front balancer and I can degree wheel it, or it doesn't take me very long to pull a delivery valve and use a dial indicator.
Yeah.
And then I can advance it, you know,
yeah,
to like point would be 0.002 of a millimeter. And that's essentially 2 degrees.
Yeah. I mean, for a guy, again, I keep just going back to the guy for like 500 horsepower. He's probably going to set it to that 17, 18 degrees.
Yeah. Like call it a day. I would set it at 18 and call it a day.
Yeah.
Like you don't need to mess with it.
Yeah.
Like the adjustable stuff is if you're drag racing or you're sled pulling,
that is handy.
It's yeah. It's super handy because you can, because when you're making that kind of horsepower and you're constantly changing where you're at in like elevation and stuff,
yeah,
you can, you know, if the truck feels light on power and you're like, man, the EGTs are high, I bet if I give it 2 degrees,
yeah,
I'm gonna see if it cools off.
Yeah.
And if it cools off, you're like, fuck yeah.
Perfect. Yeah.
I'm gonna give it another 2,
yeah,
and see what the temperature does. If it keeps cooling off, I'm gonna keep giving it timing.
Yeah.
But as soon as you start seeing it like getting hot, it's like, okay, I'm gonna pull two out of it.
Yep.
And that's gonna be the sweet spot for today.
Yep.
So yeah,
yeah, adjustable, those are cool.
Timing gears are cool.
Yeah, they are cool.
Not and necessary.
I like that one with the preset, like, because that makes it so freaking,
it's really cool
because
you don't need anything. You can be like, I'm gonna give it 2 degrees, see what it does.
Yeah.
Because I always move by 2.
Yeah.
Because if you go by 1, it takes forever.
Right.
So if you
and
go
you're
by
doing
2,
it a lot.
Yeah, you go by 2, and then you'd be like, okay, I hit the threshold of where it's happy. Now I just go back 2, and that's where it's gonna be money. Like that's its sweet spot.
Yep.
So yeah.
No, those are cool.
Yeah, there's a handful of places that make timing gears. They're not cheap. That's why I say they're really not necessary, because I think even the power driven one, which is, I think it's the cheapest one on the market, it's still $300-$400.
Yeah.
Like just.
Yeah. So it's either invest in something like that, or get it. Well, you should get a tool anyways if you're going to be working.
Well, you should have a tool.
You should have a tool anyways. So I guess you're investing in both. So I guess.
Yeah, but I mean, buy the tool, the press. The little puller gear puller. Because if you buy the universal one, because it'll pull VE, P, VP, and common rails.
Yep.
So spend $20, get the universal one. I mean, my stuff's all the Snap-on, but I mean, you know, Amazon, you can get them for $20 off Amazon.
Yeah. They will break.
They will break?
They will break.
Okay. Yeah, we carry the torque tools.
Oh, the torque tools ones. Yeah. Tools, yeah, those are fine.
Yeah,
so do those.
Yeah, I broke an Amazon one.
Fair enough.
Yeah.
I've always had my Snap-on one, so I can't say.
For the guy who's just trying to hit like 500 easy horsepower, that power driven little wheel thing, popping off a stock gear and using their little wheel on your dampener is
it's
good enough.
The degree wheel is $20. It's gonna get you close enough. Like inherently, you're gonna be off by, you know, with gear lash and everything. You're going to be off by a degree or two.
Yeah.
But I mean, you're going to be close enough.
Yeah.
I mean, and if you go to DDP's website and you go to our injectors and you say, so for 500 horsepower, I would tell you go buy stage twos. Go on our website. Stage twos will tell you recommended timing 17 to 18 degrees. So if you buy stage ones, which are, I want to say like 4 to 450 horsepower injectors, that's going to tell you 16 to 17. So, I mean, obviously there's a step, 16 to 17, stage one, 17, 18, 19, 20. And then like once you go, you know, beyond that, you get in custom stuff. Then
the super metals!
You got to figure it out yourself. Put the thing on a dyno and figure it out.
Yeah.
But yeah.
Hell
timing.
Yeah.
Timing's. The other nice thing, I forgot about this. The other nice thing about an adjustable gear is it's actually keyed to the shaft. So from factory, Cummins does not key the gear onto the shaft. It's just a tapered shaft that uses torque to hold it on there.
Yeah.
So if you are not going to use an adjustable gear with a keyway and you're just going to use a shaft taper fit, clean the shaft with non-chlorinated brake clean. Clean the ever-living dog shit out of it. You can't have oil in there. Clean all the oil out.
You don't want that baby slip timing.
No. Blow it out. Take compressed air. Clean compressed air, not wet.
Yeah.
Clean it out. Blow the shit out of it. And, dude, brake clean 3 or 4 times. I don't care how long it takes. If you see oil coming out, keep cleaning.
Change your oil afterwards.
Ah. It's the top end cleaner.
Some guys are like, I don't want to spray all those chemicals and stuff in my engine, in my oil.
Yeah, because
just change it afterwards.
It's going
like,
straight into the sump.
What you would hate more than changing your oil is slip timing.
Yeah. So like, I see it all the time on Facebook. Guys be like, hey, does anybody know why my truck's white smoking and doesn't make any power? It's like, Did you just adjust timing? Yeah, I did.
Yeah, you there slipped you go.
It. Go back. Your, do it again.
Yeah. Pull your timing cover off, fix your KDP, and then use some red pad on both the output or the shaft from the pump and on the inside of your gear. That seems to help me.
Yeah.
You know,
do you know what the torque is for the nut?
It's supposed to be 160, right?
Yep. Yeah. So it's funny. It depends on like what source you look at. So like Dodge says 144. Cummins says 160.
Yeah.
So I used to do 144. I never had a problem. And I started working for Lenny. Lenny's like, 160. I was like, okay. 160.
Send it. Yeah.
I've never had one slip. I take it back. I've had one slip and that was at 144 and I didn't get it clean enough.
Yeah.
So go through 160, make sure it's clean. Like when I say clean, I'm not kidding. Clean.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then you'll never have an issue.
Yeah.
Because when you put the little puller on it, and if it just like you put a couple turns on the bolts and it pops, it was getting ready.
Yeah.
But if you have to like pull it off,
yeah,
it was on there good.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yep.
So he does actually have stage twos in his parts list here for dynamite. That's, so he did a good job.
That's my 500 horsepower recipe is stage twos.
Yeah. He does also have, and this is again, we've kind of, you don't have to do a cam. But if you are going to do a cam, obviously you're going to be doing tappets,
yes,
doing push rods.
If you're doing it in truck, it's going to be a bad day. Trying to put tappets in an engine in truck, not recommended.
I've watched Cooper do that.
There is a Cummins, and several other people make a special little tool to do it. You have to have a little tray that fits into the cam journal that holds your tappet. And then you have to drop like a little magnet on a string through everything down. Try and catch that tappet. Pull it up.
Let's be honest. Everybody's Cummins is leaking. Just tell them to pull it out.
Right. Reseal everything. Yeah. Well, the thing is, this is an engine swap. The engine's going to be out.
Yeah.
Oh, that's true.
Do your fucking due diligence.
So if your engine is out, tear it down, please.
Yeah.
You will thank me if you pull that thing down. Pull the head off of it real quick. Check the crosshatching. Is the crosshatching good? Put a head gasket in it.
Yeah.
Send it.
Yeah.
Does it need machine work?
Is there racing stripes down your cylinders?
Yeah. Are you buying this from some guy that's been sitting on a pallet?
Yeah.
Are you buying it running? If you're buying it running from a truck, get it warm. Check your blow-by. Check your blow-by when cold. Like, do everything right to make sure you're not buying a project for your project.
Yeah.
Or if you want a project for your project, then that's fine.
Yeah.
But yeah, to put a cam with tappets in a engine in truck, it will be the least fun thing you do of that whole thing.
Yeah.
I would say, I think that's why he meant, now that I'm kind of putting the pieces together, I think if he's going to have the engine now, I think that's why he was thinking cam. Because if there's any time to do it, it's going to be then.
Yeah.
Anytime like mid-engine swap or whatever, I always basically tear them down to a long block minus I pull the cam out too, because that cam journal, you'd be surprised how worn out they are after 300,000 miles or whatever. And they're super cheap to swap. But, you know, you can put them on an engine stand, flip them over so that you're not spilling your tappets everywhere. You can take your time and seal everything up real nice. Set your timing where you want. Get your fancy cam if you want to do that.
Yeah, and you can buy a full reseal kit. I don't know, like $400 or $500.
Yeah, relatively.
That is cheap. And then you can have a 12 valve that doesn't leak.
Yeah.
Hey, which is a really nice feeling.
Which is very nice. Yeah.
Most auto parts stores carry all the, you know,
diesel power products carries them.
I'm just saying, if you were in a pinch, like if you were like, oh, I yanked this 12 valve out, my oil pan is, leaking everywhere, and, you know, diesel power products isn't open. Any auto parts store has
the
all this stuff.
24 hours a day, by the way.
And I don't know about you. I like to use silicone. I'm going to put this but. There is too much silicone.
Yeah, yes, there is. I could go on a tangent.
Okay.
Yeah.
When you cut the little tip off of the squeeze bottle, you can go small. It doesn't need to be big. Yeah. You lay a nice tiny like eighth inch or smaller bead. And then I do it. I spread it.
Yeah.
I spread it, put the gasket on,
and then put another layer.
Exactly. Yeah. That's exactly how I do it. And I guarantee you, my engines don't leak oil.
Yeah.
And there's a really crazy thing. Separate from that little tip, they have a cap. So you don't have to use
you
the whole
tube. You can
put
it back on?
You can put the cap
and
back
save
on.
It.
Shut up. No way. Yeah. Yeah.
It's a thing, man.
I just figured they made all their surfaces big enough to cover to have one RTV like that, like a rear diff.
You're a power stroke guy? Those engines are assembled with RTV, no gaskets. Like, I've built them. I've built a 7.3, and that freaking gasket kit had three gaskets and a tube for a caulking gun to seal the motor.
Yep.
Damn it.
Well, that's how they, that's where they decided to save money instead of trying to make a whole bunch of different gaskets.
Right.
You know what's a lot cheaper than 17 part numbers and 17 gaskets?
Yeah.
One tube.
You're like, hey, we changed so much stuff. We have so many part numbers. Yeah. We're running out of money. Fuck the gaskets.
What's funny is
we
like,
we haven't even got exhaust manifold gaskets. Maybe we can give that.
I built that 7.3 and then I took that tube and probably assembled like five Cummins with that
you
tube.
Probably did.
I swear to God. It was so much extra silicone. It was ridiculous.
You're welcome.
Yeah.
So other stuff on his, let's talk about air. So he does on his parts list have a BD three piece, obviously second gen style manifold. He's got a
nothing
Banks,
wrong with it.
Banks twin ram intake, and then a Super B 361. So an SXE style charger with a 361.
I've never ran the BD Super B, so I don't. I can't.
Well, they're just using a. It's just an SXE, basically.
What's the What's the exhaust?
I'll find out for you right now.
I think it's. I think it's 0.80.
No, no, the turbine.
Oh,
inducer.
Size. Yeah. I don't remember.
I'll find out. Remember.
So, like, so if I tell somebody my recipe is a 62/65/14. That's my recipe for a turbo.
Really? I want to say it's something
it's
in the
like
70s.
Yeah, super snappy. You because you can get a 12 too.
Yeah,
but the 14 is super snappy. I'm a big fan. I like the 14, and you can kind of, with the 14 you can keep down your drive pressure a little bit better too. Because I've learned by running the race truck on the dyno for like a month how much drive pressure a 12 valve head produces. It is a lot. So
it is a 6176 with an 8.0 exhaust housing, 0.8 exhaust housing.
76 for the exhaust
turbine?
For the turbine.
That's huge.
X-ducer. Yeah,
I was going to say,
that's huge.
That's big. I've never ran one, so I can't say.
They say it's rated for 500.
Yeah. I ran a 62.5, 67, 12 with my 12 valve that had 5x14s and AFC Live, and that fucker was an awesome little combo.
Yeah.
76 is pretty big.
That's
but
what, that's,
at the same time,
it's a
61.
Small,
yeah.
It's a small AR, too.
Yeah, very
It's a very tight housing.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Maybe they're trying to keep spool up and drive pressure down with a big turbine, small housing.
It could be. I don't know. I've never ran one.
What's your thoughts on the twin ram? I have no experience with those, you work on a with a dyno every day. So
I run one. I don't run the Banks. I run a, I think it's a pusher. It's the exact same dimensions.
Yeah. One thing about Banks, I didn't realize this, but did you know on the tape of their box, it has a quote from Ricky Bobby?
No way.
It says literally on every Banks box, there it says, "If you ain't first, you're last," Ricky Bobby in quotes. I tell
see
you what,
that now.
I will go grab a fucking box right there.
So the
take
last
a break
time,
from catching all these flies.
Yeah. The last time I opened up a box from Grandpa, it was a 6.7 intake manifold. And they take the approach of like last time you opened like an Apple product or something like that.
Yeah.
The unboxing process is supposed to be part of the process of buying the part. Supposed to be very happy. Every box that you open has a quote, has a picture, has something.
On every box.
Yeah, it says with a checkered flag.
Shit.
Warning, this product will expose you to performance known by the state of California to cause winning or other euphoria. In quotes, if you ain't first, you're last. Ricky
I've
Bobby.
I've never seen
isn't
that.
Isn't that the most amazing shit ever?
That's pretty good.
Like,
well, and look at the bottom of the box. Bottom, flip over carefully.
Yeah.
You literally can't fuck this up. Every label, like I'm talking, every flap of the box has something on it to tell you what's going on.
Fair enough.
Like they really, it's thought out.
Huh.
Very much so. But I personally, I like the idea of a twin ram intake manifold from Banks.
Yeah,
I mean,
it's
pretty cool.
The idea is
more air.
Yeah, the idea
and evenly
is
spread.
Exactly, is you can move your air back to cylinders. I think it comes in at 4. the rear one. So normally you come in at like 3. The back one moves it closer to 4 or 5. Mm-hmm. So you get more, a better distribution back to 6, because 6 is always going to be your hot cylinder because it's the furthest away from any sort of intake. And the intake shelving on the head is terrible flow to 6 and 1. Like it's,
yeah,
it's bad.
Yeah.
So the only way to fix that is to cut it off, but to band-aid it, you can run the twin ram. And mm-hmm. I have the same thing on our race truck. It's, yeah, it's not a Banks, but same concept.
Is it? Have you seen that one where basically it ties into the rear? There's like a, there's a, that's bung inside.
Push, the pusher makes pusher that for the common rail. Goes, okay, yeah, yeah, it goes into the, there's a, on a common rail, you've got that rear freeze plug in the shelf.
Yeah, yeah,
you pop that and it goes into that. I don't
my opinion
know
on it,
it's
fucking ugly as shit. Like, that is so terrible. Well, it looks like homemade. It looks like homemade.
One
it
inch
is
or three quarter.
Yeah, it looks homemade. There's,
like, I mean, if you're, if the whole system is under pressure boost,
yeah,
then in theory, yes, it's going to work because it's, but at the same time,
it's,
if
not,
it's
the
under
risk
pressure
of being made fun of, though.
Yeah. Like, well, like, at the same time, so if, like, if your whole intake system is pressurized, right? Okay, you're not going to have any less pressure in the back than you are going to have in the front.
Yeah.
It's going to be the same. It's 60 PSI no matter where you test it in the head.
It's, yeah, right.
So, I mean, what does that stupid little one-inch pipe? I don't know they sell that anymore.
I hope they don't.
I think that was like a...
I saw
it'd be a volume thing.
it was
yeah,
so,
but
ugly.
It's like inch or maybe inch. Like,
I agree.
How much
it's
volume can you pull?
You would
that
ideally want two equal-sized anywhere you...
Yes.
What I've learned about laminar flow and all kind of, you know, pressurization and volume, all that kind of stuff, you want the path of least resistance the whole way through, and you want even pressure everywhere you can get it.
Yes.
So having a normal, like, grid heater sized hole and then a 3/4 inch hole randomly somewhere over there, ain't working.
Yeah, exactly.
Ain't worth it. Yeah,
not even so, a little bit. Yeah. So go, yeah, you can do a twin ram. I mean,
I like the idea of a twin ram. We've never had a call back on
the Banks one. I feel like that one's kind of, it's expensive. Like, yeah, they don't
you
give
can,
them away.
You well, can definitely hit 500 horsepower without it.
Yeah.
Oh, you can go all day long on a stock horn.
Yeah.
But I
like the
cool
idea
shit
of EGT control as far as mm-hmm. having that volume to work with, especially if you're trying to have something that's real perky and snaps up real fast, being able to move that air.
Yeah,
and let's face it too, thing. It does look pretty cool under the hood.
It does.
When you pop the hood. I mean, it's a cool looking yeah, intake.
There's the cool factor.
But then in a power stroke, or not a power stroke, in an OBS truck, will that horn fit?
Yeah.
Oh, it does? I don't know.
I can't imagine it wouldn't.
Because I don't know if it gets interference with the main, the
cowl?
Brakes. No.
Brake booster.
Actually, I think the truck I saw today had one of those on.
Did it? Okay. I don't know. I'm just throwing it out there.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Otherwise, just
fuck brakes.
Convert to hydro boost. Yeah, fuck brakes too.
You don't need brakes.
Yeah. Speaking of brakes.
Yeah, 6-speed, slow down with that.
Yeah. Speaking of brakes, if you are actually planning on doing this and you're towing with it, you should really look into a disc brake conversion for that 10.25 Sterling.
Yeah.
Just
yeah,
saying. Because yeah, drum brakes ain't doing you no fucking favors.
Probably a good idea.
Yeah. So yeah, the turbo, I like that. I like.
I don't see any reason why it wouldn't work.
I do see what you're saying though about having. You said a 14 centimeter housing.
Yeah, 14 centimeters. Is what I recommend.
That's pretty tight. I like that.
Yeah.
I do like the fact this is a gated turbo.
Guys, I just want you to know there's two drunk flies flying around because they somehow keep escaping. I don't know how they're.
You're crazy, Jeller.
It's not a watertight seal on your cup.
It's freaking fun.
It's gaff tape. I don't know how they're making it out.
I don't either.
Houdini. Yeah.
It's just a trip to the bar and then
one did pass away. Okay. Rest in peace, Jeff.
Yeah, I like the idea of having a wastegate on there, especially a mechanically actually a wastegate.
Yeah, nothing wrong with a wastegate.
So
don't
yeah,
pinch
I like
it off.
That. Let's see what else is on that
nice
list here.
Yeah. I don't think he had a clutch on that list.
He did not.
Those are unnecessary. You don't need clutches.
Yeah.
Stock is fine.
Yeah. I mean, otherwise, your parts list is very valid there. So I think you're on the right path, Logan, if this is what you're doing.
Yeah.
Getting that 500 usable horsepower or 12 valve, very doable. Oh, fuel supply. You guys, he originally had a Fast on there. You guys were talking about
just running the stock.
Yeah. Stock mechanical pump with a different spring in it.
Yep.
Yeah. It's ComCams. I think it's 903 or 907. It's a big block Chevy valve spring. You can buy them for like $4.
So I got a question on that, because the mechanical pump, the spring and the plunger for that in the mechanical fuel pump.
The lift pump?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
That's for the return of the plunger.
Yes. Right? Yeah, it is, because compression is from the lobe.
Yeah, so yeah. It just returns it. So what would be the point of putting, I mean, unless your spring is weak.
Would there, like a fancy valve spring control. I don't know.
Right, but I'm just curious as far as, because it's not necessarily going to make any more pressure.
I've never looked into why.
Because Josh asked me Josh asked me a question on this. And I looked into it and I was like, wait a second. That plunger, the spring that's in there is only used to bring the plunger back to the cam. Mm-hmm. And then it pushes and it's only going to go so far, right?
Mm-hmm.
So even putting like any higher pressure spring or anything in there, it's just going to speed up.
Yeah, I have no idea.
If it's lacking already, yeah. as far as it pushing back up against, I could see maybe under like higher RPM,
and that's the conclusion you and I both came to.
And that's
like
what we came to.
If it was floating, then yes, you would have mm-hmm. no yeah. pressure right. under higher RPM or lower right. pressure, but a stiffer spring would allow it to return to the cam
because it's not regulated by spring yeah, pressure.
Nothing yeah. says that it's increasing volume or pressure. So
well,
I don't know.
Well, yeah. I think I'm curious about that because Josh brought it up and I was like, wow, I've never really heard of like a performance spring for that factory lift pump. And then when I was really started looking at it, I was like, well, I don't think, like, how could there be if it's, I mean, unless the spring is weak
or it's just floating.
Yeah.
I think getting more time, like if it retracts like along the profile of the cam instead of floating, gives it more time to fill the chamber before compressioning.
Right? Okay, that makes sense.
That's yeah. I mean, that's what I don't know. I read that somewhere else, and I used it, and it works fucking great. So what I did, and I typed it out in response to this, is I like bean sumps. I use them in everything, and then I just run a good push lock setup, a half inch push lock setup. You can get AN fittings to the factory lift pump, bypass yep. the heat.
The heater.
Yeah, just cut that shit off. Or you can buy the little spacers to take its place.
Yeah.
For very cheap. The big block Chevy spring in the factory, like there's different types of the factory Cummins lift pumps. I forgot what the number is for like the slightly higher flowing one, but if you can find that, that's great.
Yeah.
But for 500 horsepower, the stock one's fine.
Yeah.
It'll do all day long.
A TorqueTec overflow valve set yep. properly. Yes. And I even use the factory line from the lift pump up to the filtration block.
Yeah, it's 3/8.
Yeah. I think it's smaller.
I think it's the factory line is smaller than 3/8.
Yeah, I think it's like 5/16.
Slightly smaller, yeah.
It kind of had me worried there after running this big ass half inch line to my lift pump and then this dinky little. I was like, oh, we'll see what happens. Well, yeah. I mean, it supported 500 horsepower just fine, but the I put spacers underneath the filtration mounting block there, and you can run a higher micron or a better filtration, I guess, a taller filter to get a little bit better filtration, and then Vulcan Performance is I think the name. They make a dual feed line for your P pump, mm-hmm. and with the TorqueTec overflow valves, you're dynamite fancy 4Ks and
oh yeah
that's it'll rip man they're yeah. so much fun like I dailied one and used one for a long time and if you have a manual it's probably a little bit more fun because you can obviously manually control your shift points and everything like that the higher RPM fun doesn't seem to affect it as bad with an auto you gotta like stack your converter with it like you gotta make sure everything works
yeah it's
together.
All gotta be together
yeah
but,
if yeah, you so have a manual, like
if you really want to party, then you put 5,000 RPM governor springs in it. Then you can party.
Yeah.
Because the Cummins at 5,000 RPM sounds amazing.
It does.
They do.
But you need to have all the parts behind it.
Exactly. Exactly.
So also, at 500 horsepower, I would highly recommend you go head studs.
He does have head studs on the list. Yeah.
Okay. That was on there. Good. Yeah. Yeah, you can get away with it, but for how long?
Wouldn't recommend it. Yeah. Especially if you're going to have the engine out of the truck.
Yeah.
Even if you're not doing a cam, for some reason, if you're not tearing it down, you should still be doing it. Like, it's one of those things
that's so
easy.
I would do head studs if I was building it for 400 horsepower. Yeah. Fuck it. Like,
put head studs in it. Bike the bullet. Yeah. They're not terribly expensive. They're very good insurance.
Yes.
You will need to machine your rocker pedestals or buy the pre-made ones, but...
Yeah, there's a handful of places that you can buy them machined. I used to take it to a machine shop, just a little one-guy machine shop. He'd charge me $100 to cut them.
Yeah.
So If you know somebody at the Bridgeport, there you go.
Yeah.
And the ARP actually comes with the cut dimensions, how much to take out of them. So
yeah. Any machine shop can easy. Do that. Yeah.
Yeah. If they tell you that they can't do it, then to go find a new machine
then they
shop.
They can't do anything. Yeah. Because that's like the simplest of tasks.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think he's got himself pretty set up here.
Yeah. What was there anything we didn't like discuss on there?
He's got
some rack plugs over there.
Rack plugs. Yeah. You don't need rack plugs for that kind of power.
Yeah.
I mean, you could put it in it. Like, so
if the pump's off and you're not taking the pump off.
Yeah. Exactly. If the pump is off or you have the gear case off.
Yeah.
Go ahead and just put one in it.
Yeah. Because they're cheap.
Yeah. They're super cheap.
Yeah.
And like, so your stock plug allows 19 millimeters of rack travel. So rack travel is how far the plungers rotate in the barrels, which translates to fuel duration delivered to injector. Is that, everybody following?
Yeah. I'm following, yeah.
Okay. So 19 millimeters rack travel, stock. Okay, take that out, huck it over your shoulder. Buy ours. This allows 24 millimeters of rack travel. So that doesn't sound like a lot.
It's five better.
But in P-pump world.
What the hell, man?
Christ, he caught another one. It's the Jason Bourne.
That was the slowest, just like.
That's why I didn't even try to escape.
You're mine. No, I'm good. I got.
We're trying to get some real scientific shit about millimeters here, and Tyler's over here catching flies with the slowest hand possible.
So in P-pump world, everything's measured millimeters. So if you can gain 5 millimeters of rack travel, I don't know what the exact equation comes out to for power, but it's a lot. That's how.
Well, it just doesn't hinder you later on either, should you decide you want to turn this thing up at all.
Because, I mean, because realistically, can you see?
Where it's hidden?
Yeah. You can. So even on a stock, this one you can't see, but you can normally, so when you pull one off and look inside of it, you can see an L that's like stamped in it. Mm-hmm. That's from the rack hitting that. So even in factory form, it'll hit this and that'll restrict on how much fuel because that's just, if this is restricting the rack travel. So you give it a few more millimeters and you would be very impressed on how much more fuel that actually provides. And on a 215 plunger, which has retard notches, technically they are an advanced notch. You gain, let me try and remember. You gain 1 degree of timing for every 2 millimeters of rack travel beyond a certain point. Mm-hmm. So on a 215 plunger, which is the notch top, you actually gain up to 10 degrees of dynamic timing with a plug in it, which in a 12 valve is a metric ton of timing. Mm-hmm. So it kind of puts you into the like common rail world where you start off low timing and as you build RPM and boost, it starts ramping in timing. With the right fuel, the right rack plug and everything set up right, you can actually achieve the same thing.
Doesn't the 215, don't those pumps have a larger rack plug?
Nope.
I thought they had a larger. They're all the same. I thought it was like 21 or something like that.
Mm-mm. No, they're the same. They're all the same rack plug.
Yeah, this is
to my knowledge.
This is
some, I thought they're all the same.
If somebody knows different, let me know.
Yeah.
But they're the same to my knowledge.
Yeah. This is a substantial jump there.
It's a lot. So I mean, when everything in a P pump is measured by millimeters, and like when you do timing is measured by a tenth of a millimeter. A tenth? No, hundredth. Hundredth of a millimeter?
I think it's
hundredth.
Hundredth.
That's it's really the second small. Decimal point.
Yeah.
So it's a hundredth of a millimeter is how you start dialing in. Like, so when we say that, you've got a dial indicator pushing down on essentially the cam lobe, and that lobe moving up and down determines your timing because as your lobe comes up, plunger comes up, and that creates fuel pressure, which starts your combustion cycle because that creates fuel pressure, opens the injector. Where was I going with this?
I don't know. You were teaching us.
Yeah.
Damn it.
I was listening. We're talking about the 100th.
The timing. So, sorry. Yeah.
This is how our brains work.
Exactly. So if the cam is coming up, you've got a point that's called start of injection. So your start of injection is what you're looking for when you're measuring that plunger. So if you're talking about tenths of millimeters, when you talk about 5 millimeters of rack travel, that should translate over to that is a shit ton of rack travel, which allows that much more fuel. So the rack turns the plunger in the barrel, no, turns the barrel outside the plunger, which correlates to fill time and timing, basically. It's, you start talking P-pump and it gets really fucking scientific and I'm still learning. Yeah. So
I think everybody is
it's going to start getting like over my head, which is going to be over fucking everybody's head. Yeah. So yeah, millimeters, really small.
Yeah.
Inside P-pump, lot work.
Yeah.
Lot work. I like that. Yeah. Lot it's, work. The more I hear people talk about P-pumps in depth, like you just did, the more I'm like, I need to get a fucking P-pump.
Yeah.
I swear, even if I just happen to get a P-pump core or something like that, somehow my hands get on my workbench, I just want to take it apart and start fucking looking at it.
Yeah.
And start watching things move.
There's not a lot in it, but it's like super intricate on how it works.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, the guy that thought that up was tripping balls.
It's more complicated than the engine.
Oh, yeah.
100%.
Like, you start talking about rack movement and the fly weights and freaking governor springs.
Yeah.
And, like, all that shit, and it's all on shafts and springs. Like, there's bypass springs on shafts so that the shaft doesn't go too far until it has boost to allow it to go far. Yeah. And then, like, it's...
Like, a cutaway P-pump would be cool to have.
Oh, for sure.
It'd almost be impossible.
I know, but nobody wants to do it. At so many different
angles of so many different things happening. You could cut half of it off and you'd be like, well, I'm still missing like all this other action over here.
Well, like you would need like the pump itself cut in half, and then you would have to have like the governor assembly cut in half.
Sub-assemblies?
Yeah,
you'd have to have sub-assembly because your automotive governor is designed to run on variable throttle inputs. So then you go to a tractor... And now you've got an ag governor that's designed to run at 1,800, 1,900 RPM, and it'll sit there and just carry that. Mm-hmm. You put it in a fucking boat, and a marine has a different assembly than an auto or an ag.
Yeah.
Like, they all have... So, like, it's wild just to try and keep up with all the freaking governor assemblies. So that's why when you get a... Like an ag pump, and you're like, oh, yeah, you can't turn that up. It's because the governor assembly will not allow you to turn it up.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And they ditched it for the VP44.
Genius.
Yeah. They were like, hey, guys,
this is way better. This in.
Let's put this computer on that's cooled by fuel and then not give it any fuel.
Yeah.
Idiots.
And then blow on it and it'll blow up. It'll cavitate.
Is it more reliable than the P-pump?
No, not at all.
Does it want to see pressure? Actually, less than a P-pump. Well, that's good. How much pressure? 15 and a half exactly. Yeah. What happens if you get 15? Blows up. Oh, yeah. Okay, we'll put it for 16. Blows up.
Yeah.
Okay, so.
Yeah, so let's put the factory on it that at full throttle drops to 2.
Yeah,
that's a good idea.
Yeah.
It'll blow up. 8 times on the way down. Yeah.
You know, VPs, they're just going to become, that's a maintenance item.
Yeah.
You know, and every 100K, replace it.
Let's make them $2,000 a pop, too. Yeah.
But you know what? They'll be way cheaper in about 30 years.
Yeah.
It'll be great.
Yeah.
Fuck.
Yeah. Well, put a computer in a VE pump.
Yeah.
That's what it is.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, that's going to about wrap this one up. Unless I missed anything. Did we miss anything? I feel like we nailed just about everything.
Yeah. Like, buy a good clutch, too.
Buy a good clutch, yes.
The common rail in it.
For your 500 horsepower truck, assuming you're going with the NV5600 clutch, Andrew?
Valair dual organic quiet.
Bam. You heard it there.
Or a South Bend. Very impressed with my South Bend.
Yeah.
The new ones, that new South Bend does not make noise.
I've been pretty impressed the last couple times I've installed one. They're actually not. They don't rattle. They're good.
You could not.
They're good.
Like, if somebody that... It was somebody else's truck, and I jumped in it, and they were like, oh, yeah, it's a dual disc. I'm like, no, it's not.
Yeah.
It's a single disc. I'm like, it's so quiet.
It felt really good. I mean, right out of the box.
I'm super happy with it. Pulled the race truck on it before I pulled the head off of it, and it was
So you were towing in the...
Oh, yeah.
Oh.
Yeah, okay. I towed. Yep. Are you mad about that? Good.
were you towing in your break-in time?
Yeah. I don't know. It's okay. He didn't give me no break-in time.
I'm just going to make a note on your little warranty.
Let me guess, he didn't tell you what fluid run either.
No. We got MTL in it. It's got MTL.
Well, it's good. It's 5 quarts of MTL and 1
MT 90.
That's all we could find locally.
It's literally like 20 weight difference. Yeah. I think that's the only thing different in it. Yeah.
The closing argument I have about dual discs is if you've been searching on forums or whatnot or talking to people and they say, oh, dual discs are chattery. Yeah. 5, 6, 8, 9, 10 years ago. 10, yeah, they were noisy as fuck. Both Villar and South Bend have done a lot to make those things a lot quieter, even just from 4 or 5 years ago. Yeah. So if you're talking to anybody or you're driving in a truck that had a South Bend installed or Villar 5, 6 years ago, they're even quieter now.
Yeah.
So,
well, even quiet. So, get over it.
Yeah.
You're driving a truck.
It's
man.
A fucking 12
Cummins. Right?
It's a noisy. Tractor.
Yeah. Not as noisy as a 7.3, but still.
And a lot of people attribute the horrible noise in a G56 to the clutch. It's not the clutch's fault.
Yeah.
It's the transmission's fault.
Yeah.
It's Mercedes' fault. Blame Mercedes.
It's goddamn German engineers.
Mercedes. I'm just going to wrap this one up, folks. I greatly appreciate all you guys listening and tuning in. And Logan, we appreciate the question. That's probably way more information or way more of an answer than you ever
massively
wanted.
Massively over-explained.
It's like, I don't want to do this anymore. Yeah.
And long story short, we're looking forward to your project. And for some reason, we have learned that Tyler is really good at catching flies and cups.
There's a stage 2 injector. Didn't know. Just so you know. That's what it looks like.
We have one.
There you go.
So, yeah. It's like a little, like a Cirillo.
I do think the flies are starting to revolt, though, and they talk to the other flies. Because there's been a couple of escapees, and they feel like they're being a little more vicious right now.
Oh, and Andrew, thank you for the bottle of Kilbrin.
Yes, sir. Thank you.
The official, unofficial whiskey of the founding of Long Range Gear.
Hell yeah.
I dig it.
Hell yeah. I'm going to say it. Is this a Wyatt drink?
Yeah, it's Wyatt's fault. Yeah, he introduced me to that, and I fell in love with it.
Okay. This is going to be a topic on one of our other podcasts, too, but Wyatt, I greatly appreciate your comment about pressure relief valves. We're going to dive into that deeper, because I think my video on pressure relief valves came off different than we originally intended.
Yeah, that's a whole other video.
That's actually a whole other video and a whole other section of topic on there, but that's another story for another day. Thanks for tuning in, guys. We'll see you on the next one.
Bye.
Bye.
Thanks for tuning in. Make sure to subscribe and check us out at dieselpowerproducts.com.